a very holy woman whom I knew very well. Our first meeting in the bunks for 5 hours. And well she knew the meaning of grace. That is why she kept telling her sisters, promote devotion to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, because Jesus is here and you're coming to visit Him and beg Him to give you the grace you need. Grace, therefore, is a gift from God beyond anything that would be rationally conceivable. Now we use the adverb freely. That terrible non-Catholic English language. By now some of you might say, Father Harden, I think I told you why I don't talk in another language. Very happy to speak in another tongue. I wouldn't be understood, at least not by all of you. Do my best. Freely bestowed. In other words, the greatest gift that God, hear it, that God could give. The greatest gift that God could give is a gift of grace. Because with this gift from God, we are enabled here on earth to perform in our own limited way what God, who became man, did during His stay on earth. Without grace, hear it, without grace, indissoluble marriage would be impossible. Do you hear me? And the word is impossible. Without grace, it is impossible to love unlovable people, as an unlovable people are. And there are plenty of unlovable people. As a Kathy, I would add, unlovable people are those who cannot be loved without grace. And to love some people, you need more grace. You need an ocean of grace. In other words, grace enables us to do the humanly impossible. To know that is to be really an intelligent Catholic. Freely bestowed on rational creatures, both angels and human beings. And that is why, as we'll see when we treat of the evil spirit, the angels who fell did not really fall from heaven. Once you reach heaven, my friends, you're safe. You've made it. The angels fell from whatever we might call it, a vestibule to heaven, which for us, of course, is earth. One of my favorite names for earth. Vestibule to heaven. Rational creatures. And notice, all rational creatures, The angels did not have to reach the age of reason. That's one big difference between them and us. We have to grow up. And we grow up not only physically or bodily, we've got to grow up also, well, in soul, spiritually. Our minds have to grow up. Our wills have to grow up. Unrational creatures. And for us, grace is a means of growing up. Finally, to enable them, that's us, to reach heaven. No grace, no heaven. That is why my doctoral thesis for my doctorate in theology in Rome was on a strange subject of the salvation of those outside the Catholic Church. Among the books I've not published was that doctoral thesis. But they must somehow have access to grace. And this, just not coincidentally, is what Mother Teresa was to the whole country of India. And that is why, for the first time in Indian history, a Catholic is being given a state funeral. The government is behind the funeral of Mother Teresa. Oh, the grace, or plural graces, she and her sisters have provided, not just all the people of India, but I dare say a full page, was it, in yesterday's paper of Mother Teresa, the Detroit Free Press, or was it the newspaper for today? In any case, both, in any case, we are to be channels of grace to everyone whose life we touch. And touching a person's life, hear it and don't forget, touching a person's life means conferring grace on that person, being a means of grace to that person. Now the basic forms of grace. In general, there are two basic forms of divine grace. There's what we call uncreated grace, and there are, plural, what we call uncreated graces. Uncreated grace is the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in our souls. Freemason and the Church doth say that it is either the indwelling of the Holy Trinity or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Both expressions are theologically correct. When we say the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, what do we mean as distinct from saying the indwelling of the Holy Trinity? Strictly speaking, is the indwelling of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But because among the three persons in the Trinity, the third person is the love which unites the three persons of the Holy Trinity. The three persons are a community. The three persons in God are a society. And there is an authentic community, and there's a real society only, get that adverb, only in the measure in which the members of that society love one another. Otherwise, the word society is, what a cheap word, a misnomer. It must be love that unites even the three persons in the Holy Trinity. And our name for that love which unites the three persons in the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. So while it is all three persons, we may legitimately say it is the Holy Spirit who dwells in the souls of those who are in God's friendship. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit who unites the Holy Trinity. There wouldn't be a Holy Trinity unless the three persons were united among themselves. And the source, humanly speaking, of that unity is the third person called the Holy Spirit. Now, created grace. There are four principal forms of created grace. As a principle, PLE, of our supernatural life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our souls produces an effect. The effect which that indwelling produces is sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace, therefore, is a created grace. In the language of the church, it is called the soul of the soul. In Latin, the anima animae. The principle, PLE. The source, the ground, the basis of our natural life is, well, our soul. What is death, theologically defined? Death is the separation of the body from its source of life, which is the soul. Very well. Just as our souls are the source of our natural life for the body, so sanctifying grace is the source of the supernatural life of our souls. And there's only one desire we should have, only one. When our bodies die, that our souls may be alive with sanctifying grace. Everything else is worse than meaningless. All of us will die in body. Please God, none of us. Let's say a Hail Mary that every one of us will die in sanctifying grace. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of Divine Grace, Mary, Patron of a Happy Death, Father and Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Only ambition we should have in life. Our bodies die, our souls will be alive. Everything else is meaningless. That's sanctifying grace. As the first of the created forms of grace, singular. Secondly, as supernatural faculties. In other words, We have natural faculties. Like what? We have a mind. We have a will. In our bodies, we have eyes. We have ears. Can a person be alive and lack at least some of those faculties? Sure. And the supernatural faculties are seven. Three called theological virtues. And virtue comes from the Latin virtus. Or the Latin word virtus means? It means strength. That's the principal meaning of virility. Strength. So, we have three powers which are called theological, pertaining to God, theos. To believe in Him, in other words, the moment we were baptized, we received the power to believe in God. Secondly, we receive two powers in the will. The power to trust in God, otherwise known as hope. We hope to obtain what those whom we trust promise to give us. Hope is what we expect from God. Why? Because we trust Him. We receive the power of trusting in God, therefore hoping to obtain what He promised through the virtue of hope. Then we receive the power to love God. But hear it. To love God above all things, especially hear it. And we need grace. We need the virtue of charity to love God more than especially what one being. Do we need grace to love God more than that one being? Who is that one being? Ourselves. Who are the hours I would spend explaining to my students, both priests and priests-to-be, the meaning of the virtue of charity, the power to love God more than everything, especially the one thing, oh Lord, that one thing, which unless we have grace, we cannot, get the verb, we cannot love God more than that one thing called me. Bad grammar, but good theology. Then in the moral order, we receive four powers. And these are powers which a person of sanctifying grace possesses. And just for the record, the moment a person commits mortal sin, at that moment, the person loses the power of loving God above all things. The power is gone. Every person in mortal sin has lost the power, which we call the virtue of charity, the power to love God above everything, especially that one thing whom, naturally speaking, he loved more than anything or anyone else in the world. What are the four powers? That we receive when we are in a state of grace. One power for the mind called prudence. And three powers for the will called justice. Justice, fortitude, and temperance. empowered me. I put these notes together while making the retreat. I hope I was distracted when I put these notes together, because I should have placed prudence in place of justice, and justice in place of prudence. Would you please correct Father Hardin? And by the way, God's favorite way of having us go in humility is through humiliations. Do you know that? We need them. Father Hardin sure does. That's a mistake. It should be prudence, which is in the mind, and then justice, fortitude, and temperance. And we're just giving the overview because that's what this course is about. Am I clear? Go into such details as the course will require and your questions. I beg you, I mean it, write as many questions as you can. Not too long. Come to the point, because the questions are most important for your understanding what this center is trying to teach. Now, besides having a source of life which is called the soul for the body, besides having powers, natural powers, we have supernatural principle of life called sanctifying grace. We have supernatural faculties just described. But we also have supernatural instincts. And those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think I should share with you why I decided, after promising Father Downey that I would concentrate on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, thought to myself, I don't think that would be wise to concentrate just on the gifts, because I would have had to go into so much theological detail. That would have been fair to you. Hope I'm clear. In other words, I thought it'd be wiser to give you the bread and butter of the church's teaching on grace. There'll be some pastry too, but mostly, am I making sense? The basics of our faith on the meaning of divine grace. So the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are the seven supernatural instincts. And that is why I thought I would add from Father Edward Lane his chapter on the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there are things that they do spontaneously, but what a difference between acting spontaneously by nature and acting spontaneously by grace. I'm sure I've said this maybe more than once to some of you. Waiting for a subway train at 51st Street and Lexington in New York. Remember? Being shoved off the train by a man who thought he would kill me. Well, because if I had fallen on my face, I would have been killed. He pushed me, and very hard, from the back. Would have killed me. I would have cracked my skull. Thank God I'm still alive. People caught me. Then, as I came to, the door was still open. Remember? And the man was leering at me. never, I'm sure, in his life, had thrown a priest off the subway train and flat on his head. Believe me, it's not a natural instinct. As long as I could, I said, God bless you. Believe me, I've got a rich vocabulary. Oh. The words that came to my mouth, which I did not say, am I making sense? Supernatural instincts. I tell you what he said to me before the door closed. He couldn't believe it. And as the door was closing, I had better ears then than now. He said, God bless you too. I'm sure we'll never meet this side of eternity. Those are the gifts. How we need those supernatural instincts. Number four, supernatural joys. We're supposed to enjoy doing God's will. No pro-choice. But there are two kinds of joy. Pardon me. In my theological vocabulary, I distinguish between joy and pleasure. Pleasure is a satisfaction that comes from doing your own will. Joy is a satisfaction that comes from doing the will of God. I didn't learn this last week or 2 months ago. It took me a lifetime. And remember, we grow in our faith as we understand the meaning of words we've always used. And this is an order. I'm giving you this in our first class this semester. I want all of you to grow in your Catholic vocabulary. In other words, understand the words that we English-speaking Americans, as we say in Latin, pro dolor. Unfortunately, we have to use a non-Catholic language. But we have a duty to Catholicize that language. Am I making sense? That is why, for a deeply believing Catholic, it is very hard to engage in conversation with someone who lacks the faith. Am I making sense? You can talk about things where you never really share your mind and your heart. And those are then the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of divine grace,